Good morning. It is 7:45 here on the Mighty 690. It's time for our Green Side Up program. We have joining us in studio Clayton Lester from Cherokee County Extension. Good morning, sir. How's it going?
Good morning. It's going pretty good.
Good deal. You've managed to make it through all the weather here lately.
Yeah. It's been pretty crazy with the weather the last few days.
I know. It really has. Now, you had your tractor safety here at kind of the start of the month, and how'd that all go?
It went really good. I think we had around 8 or 9 kids. So, I mean, we had a pretty good little turnout. It was my first time doing it, so I couldn't be any happier with the way it turned out. So, got to talk to the kids about proper safety with the tractor. On-road use, off-road use, out in the field, safety around highline wires, just all the general and all the good stuff that there is the need to know. So
sure, that's right. And you know, it's always interesting too, because you got all sorts of different tractors with different safety equipment that may or may not be present that they may be dealing with.
Exactly, like newer equipment's a lot different compared to older equipment. So talking to them about what newer tractors or newer equipment, different color coding of different knobs and different levers can mean different things for equipment that might be a little bit older too.
Sure. So your 48 ends might not have quite the safety
you're
features
exactly right completely different
are on there, but anyway, that's fantastic. Well, I'm glad it was a good time there, and definitely appreciate you guys putting that on.
Yeah.
So today, I know this is a little different topic. This is more of a horticulture topic here, but I know that you wanted to talk a little bit about butterfly gardening.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of talk about a little bit about what butterfly gardening is, the different kinds of plants, so like host plants, nectar plants, and kind of round it off with like trees, shrubs, and windbreaks, like to protect them for like a home from the living. So I guess we'll kind of get started talking about what butterfly gardening is. So it helps increase the butterfly populations in the area by planting like nectar plants and adult plants and host plants for different kinds of larvae. So not only does planting a garden with plants to attract butterflies aids in butterfly conservation to help protect them, but the gardeners are richly rewarded in these different kinds of opportunities to observe those different kinds of butterflies and reveal such secrets of nature, so they can see them in different stages of development. So the process of metamorphosis as they change to their body, mimicry, so resemble other organisms or objects for protection against those predators and predator-prey relationships, and the cycles of life for those butterflies. So if you want butterflies to be more than just visitors, stopping by for nectar, every now and then you can create habitat that will encourage butterflies to call your garden their home. So about three things here. So like nectar plants to feed adult butterflies, host plants for butterflies to lay their eggs and for developing butterflies to feed on. Then we got trees, shrubs, and windbreaks to provide protection for wind and predators. So
if someone is looking at maybe some specific plants here, what do we need to know about the plants that are going to attract butterflies?
Exactly. So we'll kind of get started with nectar plants, and I got some list of different kinds of nectar plants to plant. So nectar plants are the color as well as the shape of the flower blooms attracts the butterflies. So while a wide variety of colors will attract a greater variety of butterflies, it's also important to plant your flowers in masses. So using three or more plants of the same variety or the same kind of plant. So nectar plants include many perennials and annuals. So perennials bloom for 3 to 8 weeks during the summer and return every year, usually in large clumps than the previous year. Annuals grow and bloom all summer long but are killed by the frost and must be replanted each year. Then I got a little list for nectar plants and host plants. So some perennial nectar plants might be like asters, black-eyed Susans, coneflowers, milkweed, are kind of just a few to list. Then I got some annuals. So we got some verbenas, cosmos, zinnias, the Mexican sunflower, so a lot of pretty flowers, and some shrubs are like lilacs, a butterfly bush, blue spirea, then spirea itself. Then we got some host plants. So host plants, while butterflies drink a variety of nectar plants, they lay their eggs on specific host plants. So their caterpillars hatch and feed on them. By supplying both nectar and host plants, you encourage butterflies to reproduce and build a population in your yard. So expect host plants to be partially eaten by developing butterflies.
So that is a good reminder that they're gonna have to eat something.
Exactly. So some of those annuals, and we got some both annuals and perennials, and we got some perennials. So some annuals might be some Painted Ladies and Buckeyes, and both annuals and perennials might be Painted Ladies as well, then Monarchs, then some perennials will be Painted Ladies, Pearl Crescents, Sulfur, then Gray Hair Streak, and Eastern Traded Blues, and some perennial vines might be Pipe Vine, Swallowtails, and Silver Spotted Skippers, then some different shrubs might be Giant Swallowtails and Spice Bush Swallowtails, are just some different kinds of varieties there. Then we got like trees and shrubs to help kind of protect them as well. So butterflies prefer a sunny location that's protected from the wind. So the ideal area is an area that receives at least 6 hours of sun a day and is sheltered by a natural tree or shrub windbreak. So a fence or a wall is ideal to help keep them protected. So trees in an area also offer butterflies a place to roost and provide protection from storms and other predators. So some more ways to make butterflies feel at home. So add a few light colored stones to protect from the wind to which they cold-blooded butterflies can bask in the sun, so it gives them a place to go and rest on, but also catch that sunlight. Provide a puddling space by burying a shallow container of sand and keeping it moist. Butterflies will congregate on damp sand to extract needs like salt and different minerals for them. Place rotting or overripe fruit in hanging baskets to attract like red spotted purples, question marks, commas, hackberries, and red admirals. So add fruit every few days to help attract. Then some garden maintenance. So a successful butterfly garden requires a few special maintenance practices. So definitely avoid pesticide use. So the chemicals that kill undesirable insects will also kill butterflies and their caterpillars. So then we also deadhead spent blossoms. So not only will this practice encourage more blooms, it also helps control plants that become more invasive by removing those seed heads as well. Then allow a little debris in your garden. So many butterflies spend the winter as caterpillars and pupas and wood piles. So those decaying branches, fallen leaves, and those dead stalks of perennials. Meticulous fall cleanup can diminish those butterfly populations in the spring. Then we also create a butterfly-friendly lawn. So set your mower on the highest setting so tiny caterpillars and lawn are not disturbed. So I also allow white clover to grow and bloom. This nectar and host plant provides nitrogen to the lawn as well as butterfly food.
So if your neighbor is complaining about your grass hide, you can say, well, I'm just saving the butterflies.
Exactly. Right? Well, you can pull that card right there.
Yeah, you sure can. Well, that is neat. I mean, I'm amazed at how many different butterflies we see here. I mean, I feel like there's always a different one. And I assume a lot of these are probably migrating.
Exactly. They move from one part of the United States to the other. So,
and it is just amazing how far they can travel. You know, you see the monarchs always a big deal, you know, going down to Mexico or whatever. But I mean, there's just all sorts of other ones that I have no idea what they are.
Exactly. The monarchs for me is pretty crazy because they go exactly from one part of the United States all the way to the other. So it's pretty crazy how far they travel.
Yeah, so. It sure is. So they'll probably be kind of slowing down here with this colder weather. But once it warms back up, because you said, they are cold-blooded, so they're not going to do a lot probably right now, but
exactly.
Maybe once it warms up here today, they'll be going. But definitely some good tips here on helping out those butterflies. And I'm sure too, if you're doing things to assist the butterflies, it may also end up helping, you know, the bees and that sort of thing too.
Exactly. Give the bees something to some nectar and some pollen for them as well. So
sure. And then aren't there some, I mean, like in the garden, can't a butterfly also be beneficial for pollinating? Do they pollinate some of these garden things in the garden?
I believe some of them do. I know bees are the most crucial point, but I believe some of them do, especially from moving from plant to plant as well. Help spread that pollen around.
Yeah.
Help pollinate different plants.
Absolutely. Well, good stuff there. And Clayton, if folks do have some questions for you, they want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, our office phone number is 620-429-3849.
Okay, very good. Well, coming up here in our next segment, we will chat more here with Clayton Lester, K-State Research and Extension. Right now, we have 45 degrees in Coffeyville. We are on our way up to a high in the mid-60s. Partly cloudy skies, quieter weather, calmer winds right now. And we will have a check of Fox News coming up. We'll have a look at local news as well, and then get you back into our Green Side Up program here today. Of course, we'll get started with your time to buy, sell, trade, and give away with Open Lens starting at 8:40. And we'll have an update from the Coffeyville Chamber at 9:10, then more open line through 11. Back here on the Mighty 690, it is 8:10, and we continue along with our green setup program. We have Clayton Lester from Cherokee County Extension. Good morning once again, sir.
Good morning.
All right, so I know you were talking a little bit of here in this segment, wanted to go over some cattle grazing management strategies here, and I know we're into, there's lots for them to eat right now, right?
But, exactly.
That may change.
Exactly. Yeah, we're getting a lot of good rain right now. We were kind of talking about earlier with everything that's been the last few days, so have a lot of rain, but sometimes we go into our summer and we're a little bit drier, so thinking about good cattle grazing management strategies right now, really having those on the mind really help going into, especially while we're still in that transition. So yeah, we'll kind of talk about why grazing management matters, what is grazing management, and then some different strategies. So grazing management, so it's a technique a producer uses to control a grazing behavior of cattle. So ultimately, to manage forage growth and limit undergrazing and overgrazing. And a lot of these grazing management strategies can also go to other livestock as well, you know, like sheep and goats. But we'll kind of get talking about what grazing management is. So it's a collective grazing management, it utilizes an animal's feed inputs with land, labor, or capital resources. So all the inputs that kind of go into it as well. But proper grazing management helps plants recover after grazing, ensuring a healthy and productive pasture for long term. So matching forage quality and quantity to an animal's needs, grazing management optimizes animal health, growth, and overall performance. So good grazing practices improve soil structure, water infiltration, nutrient cycling, so contributing to a healthy and resilient ecosystem. So grazing can be a valuable tool for maintaining healthy grassland ecosystems, helping to control weeds, and promoting native plant growth. So well-managed pastures can reduce runoff, soil erosion, and water pollution, contributing to clean water resources as well. Then I also got a few different strategies. So one of them is called stockpiling. Then we got rotational grazing, continuous. Then kind of how to adjust a large continuous grazing pasture. So just a few different key strategies here. So stockpiling. So it's a practice of removing cattle from a pasture to allow regrowth through the late summer and early fall. So this creates a pile of forage in the pasture that can be grazed through the late fall and early winter. So this management technique works well with cool season grasses that are treated with nitrogen, followed by rain, and leading to good regrowth of that grass. So with strip grazing, an electric fence contains a small area, and the cattle are allowed to graze in the grass on the ground before moving to another area. So because this grass is dormant, producers don't need to be concerned about plant regrowth. Then we got a little bit about rotational grazing. So the cattle are moved frequently and may come back to the same grazing track later in the season. So some benefits of rotational grazing. The advantage of rotational grazing is that plants are allowed to rest and recover when the cattle are moved to another track. So by allowing the plants to recover, it helps them from getting stressed by continuous grazing, allows it to be more productive over the growing season. So continuous grazing, so cattle turn out into a large pasture and remain there for many days. And once they leave, they don't return to that pasture until the next grazing season. So the cattle will often regraze the plant over and over again in a short time. So because of that new growth, it's most palatable and that stresses the plant. So kind of how to adjust to a large continuous grazing pasture. So by moving water and mineral feeders to different locations in the pasture, cattle will naturally go to these places. So patch burning these pastures at different places from year to year to encourage the cattle to graze the areas of new growth. So here's a kind of like a variation of both continuous and rotational grazing. So put a higher normal load of cattle on a pasture, and then the midsummer move them to another pasture, and then later in the season move them to a third pasture. The following year they move the cattle through the pasture into a different order to allow the grasses to rest and experience grazing pressures at different times in the season. So that's kind of a few different key strategies I got, which a lot of these also depend on your operation as well, what you're doing, especially some patches you might have a cross fence through them and you're going to bale part of it. So keeping those good strategies there, but also kind of thinking about the rain we get right now, we also do have that possibility. We could also turn off dry too. So it just gives you a bunch of different ideas to kind of think about as we're going more into our hot weather seasons.
Sure. So, I'm kind of hoping to bank up some of that moisture right now.
Exactly. So, which is a good thing right now. Yeah. We're getting a lot of rain, so we're getting some good filling on our ponds.
Because
so
some
really
of those, well, you know, even a month and a half ago, were pretty dry.
Exactly. Yeah, it's changed pretty quick. We've got a lot of inches of rain. We've got a lot of good runoff into these ponds.
Well, what's that saying that Southeast Kansas is always about 2 weeks away from a flood or a drought?
Exactly.
So now, have you looked into, I don't know if you've done much on these virtual fencing or learned much about that. I know Wendy Powell, they had the presentation that was at her, the OCAN cattle conference there. But I just think that's, it's really interesting. I know the costs are kind of high to get into it, but what you can do when it works, it's a caveat there, when right. it works, it is pretty neat of, you know, kind of easily fencing off, you know, virtually, and kind of keeping your pasture all, you know, once you get it all set up, you know, you just swipe your finger and you can move your cattle around.
I think it's a pretty neat setup, really. I think in a sense, I think they kind of wear like a necklace around the mm-hmm. cattle and it kind of...
It'll vibrate
yeah. or something like that. I think it was last year, I think Jamie Lynn Farney out at the Southeast Research Center in Parsons, I think she came down and talked. I can't remember exactly what program it was that she came down, but she kind of touched on it, and she had some videos mm-hmm. and stuff like that, and kind of some numbers and statistics and stuff like that. And I think it's just a really cool thing, really. It just really shows you what technology can do as we're moving through. So,
well, and again, I mean, I've talked about it a couple of times, but we don't do as much of it here, but I was really impressed with the strip grazing where they had some corn stalks that they were just strip grazing. And normally, you know, you might turn them out and they just kind of go all over the place, but here you could just, they could do only just a few, just a little bit of the field every day.
Right.
And then they'd open that up. So they really effectively were able to, you know, strip graze that.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise it might just kind of turn into a mess. So,
exactly.
You know, it was just kind of neat what they were able to do. Now they did show that, you know, sometimes they'll get through the line, you know, cause it'll shock them to an extent, but then
right.
some of them just will bust right through that.
And it's pretty cool too. And I think she had some information on it as well, but like how quick the cattle learn to like the different cycles.
Yeah,
like
you've got to train them.
You got to train them exactly how it vibrates and shocks them like that. But also like how quick they learn to each day you change and you move to a different spot. You know, they get in that habit and they catch on pretty quick. So that's pretty interesting as well.
And too, the other thing is there's always like an alpha cow in the herd. So you got to make sure that if that one loses their collar or whatever, it's kind of all bets are off. So you got to make sure that alpha cow, I mean, and you figure out which one that is and make sure that one's okay.
Always calling them up, lead cow.
Yeah,
always
yeah.
the quickest one. So.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah, but it like you were talking about that, she also had, it shows them where they're at the pasture too. So, I mean, checking them, especially if they're having a calf or something like that,
yeah.
that makes that just that much easier.
It might
sometimes
even
the calf ain't too far away and sometimes yep. it's far away, but at least you have a general idea of where the mama's at. So maybe the baby's close enough or, you know, I mean, makes that a little bit easier, but also tell you if you have any cattle out too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always a good thing.
Allows you a little bit more peace of mind. If you're out of, you know, out of town, something like that, you can check on them a little bit more easily.
Exactly.
So that's some good stuff. So I know always love kind of keeping track of all that latest technology here.
Technology is pretty cool. It just keeps developing. So.
Yep. So anyway, it'll get there, I think. But
yep.
We will
take some time and some implementation some places.
Yeah, it's not going to be perfect, but it could be a good tool. So.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, anything else before we wrap up here?
I don't think so. I think that's all I got.
Okay.
Today.
Well, if someone does have a question for you, they want to get in touch with you, how can we get a hold of you over in Cherokee County?
Yeah, they just give us a call to our office at 620-429-3849.
Okay, and we'll hope we're on the downhill swing of this severe weather season. We can hope. It's been a busy one.
It sure has.
All right, that's Clayton Lester here, Cherokee County Extension. We have our Green Setup program every Wednesday here at this time. Our next guest will be Candy Westbrook here at 9:10, but we'll have time for Open Line in just a few minutes. We'll have a Words of Inspiration program coming up. It's all on the way here on the Mighty 690.